First Kings chapter 5, let's examine something in the life of this man called Solomon. Now, if a greater than Solomon is here, then we are looking at different aspects of his life and then taking lessons from those aspects and then building upon them by the wisdom that comes from the Lord Jesus. Now, can I ask you a question? Do you see your life becoming better? I'm not saying by fate or anything. Are you seeing an adjustment in your thinking processes and all the rest? Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you expose yourself to the Word of God. I put out something, and I think it's very important. I said the simple hack to becoming wiser is read your Bible every day. That's the simple hack. That's for the problem many times that we are reading to catch rev. But the simple hack to becoming wiser is just read your Bible every day. Glory to God. And you find out that you're a wiser person. Wiser person. All right. We're talking about the wisdom of Solomon. We're examining his wisdom and drawing lessons from it. First Kings chapter 5. One of the things you see in the life of Solomon was his ability to maintain strategic alliances. Because one of the places wisdom finds expression is in relationships. That's one of the places wisdom finds greatest expression is in relationships. Now, a couple of them, and you see that Solomon's folly started with the wrong relationships as well. That's where his folly started from. A couple of these alliances and relationships are shown us in Scripture, but there's one particular one I want us to examine in 15 minutes at the most tonight. The king Tyre called Hiram. The Bible says he sent his servants unto Solomon from verse 1, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in room of his father, for Hiram was a lover of David. Please note that sentence. Hiram was a lover of David. Now, so by all standards, Hiram was not Solomon's mate. Are you following what I'm saying here? In fact, when you do, you study the Bible and you're checking chronologies and all of that, you realize that Hiram was actually said to be a bit older than David. I mean, so he couldn't in any way be Solomon's mate at all. Look at the next verse there, verse 2. And there's something I want to show you there, very important. So Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God, for of the wars which were about him, on and on, on and on, and on. And then Solomon made a demand from Hiram. Now, verse 12 is what I wanted you to see, because it's a very important verse of Scripture there. Verse 12, one to go. And the Lord, are we there? All right, let's read together, one to go. And the Lord gave Solomon wisdom. Please hold on there. You know, already tells us in 1 Kings, the third chapter and the fourth chapter, the two previous chapters, that God gave Solomon wisdom and that God gave him largeness of heart, breadth of understanding as the sand of the seashore. Now, why is it mentioned particularly here in this case? Because it's not a misplaced mention. Why would the Spirit of the Lord bring this here and highlight it at this point? It says, the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he promised him, and, say with me, and. Come on, say with me, and. So a manifestation of that wisdom was in the relationships around him. Are you following what I'm saying here? It says, and the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he had promised him. And because of this wisdom that was at work in Solomon's life, it says there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and they two made a league together. Now, this is so powerful. If you study the strategic alliance that was between Solomon and Hiram, you know full well immediately that Solomon could not have built the temple without Hiram's help. It was not possible. Most of the materials that needed to be imported that were not available in Israel, it was Hiram that sent them in. Solomon built the temple of the Lord for 7 years. He built his own house for 13 years. So you have Solomon's and the temple of the Lord, which he built first. And then when he was done with that, it was called the house of the king. He built it for another 13 years. So he was in projects for 20 years. Solomon was building for 20 years of his life. And for those 20 years, he had a strategic alliance with this king who supplied him almost all the materials that were needed for the building of the house. Don't forget, David had laid aside money, laid aside gold, laid aside silver, with which he was going to purchase and give him purchasing power and all the rest. But then the physical materials, maybe we should look into this just a bit so you get what I'm saying here. So you realize that God says you should do something, it's men that will supply what you need to do it. And if you don't have the wisdom to manage, and first things first, can I tell you something? The world is stupid. Write it down in capital letters. The world is stupid. So if you follow the philosophy of the world, you're stupid. You'd live a very stupid life. I just cancel people. I just cut people off. That's a stupid statement to make. It's an imbecile statement. How do you call yourself a believer who has received grace and you can contemplate that? It's a very, very, it's not immature, it's imbecilic to make such statements. Are you following what I'm saying? The world is stupid. And if you follow the philosophy of the world, you're going to live a very stupid life. Very stupid. The unfortunate thing is that you're going to live stupidly with pride. With your cheeks high, your shoulders high, but very stupid. So somebody says, you know, I don't like what happened, so I just cut them off. I cancel them. Have you heard of the cancel culture? I just cancel them from my life and all the rest. I cancel them. First things first. Anyone who talks like that is the one who should be canceled. I found out many times, people who think that way usually don't have the wherewithal and the maturity to handle relationships. Considering the meanders, the ups and downs that comes with relationships. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Please listen very carefully to me, because Jesus gave us a law that cannot be broken. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened unto you. And then he told us how your prayers will be answered. He said, whatever good you want men to do to you, do the same unto them. So you see that God connects the wisdom that he gave to Solomon to the health of the relationships in his life. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying here? So there's a lot that God, and I've seen this happen with a lot of people, there's a lot that God wants to do with people, and you can be so anointed, so anointed, and yet you don't have, you can pray 21 days for helpers and not have the maturity to handle them when they come. Because God never said your helpers will be perfect. He never said, I'm sending you perfect people. That's not what he said. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 5. Let's look at this here. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Now you're quiet. Nobody wants to talk again. Look at verse 6. Now, therefore, command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon. So, you know that cedar of Lebanon that we're always talking about? It wasn't in Israel. Are you following what I'm saying here? You're planted like the, shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. And we use it to describe the house of God. Where did it come from? From Hiram. Not from Solomon. Are you following what I'm saying here? Look, read on there. And my servant shall be with thy servant. Unto them, thee will I give hire for thy servants. Now, there are certain principles here. And if you read these things, unto them I will give hire for thy servants according to all that thou shalt appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to heal timber like unto the cedar. Do you see that? So, I mean, we are not as skillful in getting the timber. It's your people that know how to do these things. Can we get into some partnership with you to get the job done? And we'll pay you what you deserve and all the rest. We'll pay you what you deserve. And you read on and on, and he gave him far more than that. Look at it. It says, I will do all thy desire, that's verse 8, concerning timber of cedar, concerning timber of fire, and on. So wisdom finds expression, major expression, in the relationships of our lives. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. A popular text that... You see, and the wisdom of the world drives towards isolating people, unfortunately. Everything the world's wisdom does is to isolate you from people. That's what the world's wisdom does. You can have platonic associations, but you are isolated from people. That's what the world's wisdom does. The opposite is what God's wisdom does. Look at what it says. It says, two are better than one because they have what? A good reward for their labor. You know, we read this for marriage many a times. But Solomon is not qualified to tell us that two are better than one. He should have said 1,000 are better than one. Do you get what I'm saying here? So let's agree that whilst we extend it to teach marriage, this thing is not talking marriage at all. Are we wrong to use it to teach marriage? No. But within the context, Solomon, it's not possible for Solomon to say two are better than one. It's not possible. He didn't have the experience of two. It's not within his soonness. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not there. How can he say two are better than one? If Solomon gave back to him, he said 700 is the number of perfection. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what he would say. Let's look at this in the NLT. There's a reason I'm looking at this now. Because we have used it to teach marriage and we have missed out on really what the man was trying to teach us. Look at it in the NLT. Do I have that? Everybody read it together. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. It says two people are better than one because they can help each other succeed. Which means you've got to understand how God has designed this. That in these relationships and associations that God brings into your life, it's not never a one-sided thing. Never a one-sided thing. For example, stand up. Come here. Here's Brother Inkem. What do you do in church again?
I'm the assistant head of workforce.
You are the
first special directorate and assistant head of workforce.
What's the meaning of that? Who gave you that title?
You, sir.
I gave you. You heard, you didn't hear well. But imagine, he's the assistant head of workforce. The truth of the matter is, he's doing certain things that I don't have, I just don't have the time to do. I've been seeing you people doing meeting everywhere. In fact, just the sight of the meeting annoys me. It's just, I'm not into all of those things. I'm into vision. Do you get? I mean, once we are sitting down, we are talking too much. No. Let's fly. Let's move. Now, but he's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. Now, what is he doing? He's supplying something into the vision that I cannot supply, that I may not be able to supply. I may not have the time and the skill to even supply. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Now, in a sense, you say, oh, he's helping Pastor Ayo. And so Pastor Ayo's life is getting better. Every time they are both succeeding. You know why? Because he's learning something he's going to use in his life outside there. You know why? He's standing in the fullness of the assignment of God for his life. So whilst in a sense he looks as though he's prodding Pastor Ayo up to be who God has called him to be, at the same time, in the same vein, he's standing in the fullness of what God has called him to be. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? So God has designed it, please sit down, in such a way that nobody can reach destiny alone. Nobody. It was John Maxwell that said, one is too small a number to achieve greatness. And I agree. God has designed it that nobody can be, you have to settle it. Nobody can be all that God has called them to be and to stand in the fullness of all that God has called them to stand in all by themselves. And I believe one major reason he does that is so that nobody says I'm a self-made man. We are community-made people. Are you following what I'm saying? He does it so that nobody can say, I mean, say, you know, I just got here by myself, you know, and then nobody, I mean, and you have no regard for nobody and all the rest. It's not possible. It's not possible. So read that NLT translation again. One to go. Can we read together? Two people are better off than one, for they can help. You are reading as though you are fasting. Open your mouth and read. One, two, go, read. If you continue like this, next week we are going to do 3 days dry. I'm telling you. Bring it on. Two people. All right, read the next verse, verse 10. Let's look at it together. This is important. It says, for if one person falls, the other other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in what? Real trouble. Look at the next verse. We're going somewhere. We're building up to this. Likewise, two people. Now, this one. All right, let's leave this one. It's not part of the synesis for the message. All right, let's leave it. Because somebody says, yes, now I see it. You see, but because Solomon was predisposed. All right. So, Proverbs 18:24. Hallelujah. Praise God. Proverbs 18:24. Somebody says, you know, I read in scriptures that the way to help one another is to lie down beside each other and be warm. Go and buy duvet, you'll be warm. Glory to God. Proverbs 18:24. Can we read it together? One, two, go. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself what? Friendly. Now, so he shows you levels of relationships. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Then he says, beyond just showing yourself friendly, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We don't have the time to explain this, but there are different levels of associations that God will bring into your life, different levels of relationship. That's not what we're looking into. We're just looking at the general wisdom for managing relationships. And in verse 24 there, you can study it for yourself. You see different grades of associations that God will bring to help you fulfill destiny. Now, three keys here. Let's wrap up very quickly. Number one is practice discernment. Practice discernment. Now, everyone that comes into your life comes for a reason. Find the reason. Everyone that comes into your life comes for a reason. Find the reason. To relate with everybody the same way, and to treat everyone the same way, exact same way, is to show dishonor. I'll explain what I mean by that. To treat everyone the same way and relate with everybody the same way is to show dishonor to critical relationships in your life. Now, there's the foundational basic, which is love all men, honor all men, no favoritism to anybody and all the rest. But then you have to practice what we call discernment. This is so important. Practice discernment. And we see Abraham practicing discernment there. You had the king of Melchizedek, you had the king of Sodom. You remember the story? And the king of Salem called Melchizedek, and the king of Sodom standing right before him. Now, to one, he had won the victory and brought back all the spoils. Now, if you understand the laws of combat in those days, all the spoils belong to Abraham. Whatever you win from in conquest is yours. That's why the man said, you can take all of the goods. He wasn't doing him a favor or anything. He was his. You can take all of the goods. I agree that these are the laws of combat, but please, just return the men to us and all of that. And Abraham said, I'm not going to touch anything from you. He said, save that which the men have eaten out of it. But right after saying that, what did Abraham do? He took a tenth of everything. Now, you cannot give a tithe on what? I can't tithe on your money. So if he tithed on it, it meant it was his possession. Are you following what I'm saying here? Took a tenth of it, and who did he give it to? He did not give it to the king of Sodom. He gave it to Melchizedek because he had a discernment that they can look the same way, but they hold different positions in my life. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the first key, and this is important, the first key to managing relationships rightly in your life is that you have to practice discernment. Who is this person and what place do they have in my life? This is so important. It will help your marriages get better. Because when you practice discernment, this is my husband, this is my wife, you see them in the light of the office. You see them in the light of who they have become to you. This person is a wife. What does the Bible say about wives? Are you following what I'm saying here? Practice discernment. This person is a husband. You may feel like, maybe I missed it. But you are inside. Your feelings notwithstanding does not change that he's a husband. Nobody's talking again. Glory to God. Is somebody still here with me tonight? Tell the person beside you, practice discernment. It's so important. You can't place everybody on the same level. You can't relate with everybody at the same level. Let me tell you something here. It will be foolhardy of me, it will be foolish of me to give access and attention to everybody at the same level. No. It's not love, it's stupidity. Jesus spent more time teaching the disciples than the multitude. Go and ask him why. You are partial. Why did he spend more time with the disciples? Why did he separate them out? Because the commitment that the disciples had made to him, the multitudes did not make. And it would be wrong to respond to the disciples in the same measure he responds to the multitudes. No. How can I live my life and follow you and you treat me like those who didn't live their lives to follow? Somebody follow what I'm saying here? It's the same reason why when people are a blessing to you, even if tomorrow they turn around to be a thorn to your flesh, you never forget what they brought into your life. I have seen people judge people by the bad or the evil or the expectations that failed, and they say, this person is a bad person. I had to sit down, somebody down one day. I said, this person gave you food. This person housed you. This person gave you this. This I know this by experience and by stories and by every interaction, and I can tell that there's so much more this person did for you that I'm not aware of. Do I think that this person is the best of persons? No, I don't think everything is okay like that. I know, but you can't judge this person by one act and forget everything they did for you. Show me discernment. That's the first principle. You must know who people are in your life, what role and what place they hold in your life. Sift and sort people and relate with them from that standpoint. Glory to God. Are you still here? Number two, practice the golden rule. Maybe I should have started with that. Practice the golden rule. And what do we mean by the golden rule there? Love is the golden rule. This is a basic foundational principle when it comes to relationships. Paul made a statement. He said, by all means, with everything that is within you, be at peace with all men. Don't be that person who is comfortable. You know, you are at the war. You are a liquid matter. You are comfortable with it. In fact, you thrive on it. See, oh, she will pass now. She won't be able to look into my eyes. Didn't I tell you? Okay, I'm sure. No. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It says, follow peace with all men, the reasonable and the unreasonable. Follow peace with all men. And holiness. Many times we read, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. It is not holiness alone. Peace with all men. They are holy people who don't have peace. Are you following what I'm saying? Follow peace with all men and what? Holy. By all means, find a way to ensure that from your part, there are no grievances and offenses. Are you following what I'm saying? This is important. Basic principle, but it will help you. Practice the golden rule of love and peace with all persons. Number three, bring value always. No relationship will survive if your ideology, your mindset, your reason for entering into it is primarily what you can get. Are you following what I'm saying here? At every level and at every time in your life, you must always position yourself to bring value to the table. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? Bring value to the table. At every point in time, at every level in your life, you must always position yourself to bring value to the table. You must always ask yourself, what can I add to this person? What can I add to this relationship? Now, I don't know if you studied, you saw what we saw with Hiram. The Bible says that when Solomon asked him, even though he was a lover of King David, remember how Solomon phrased his request? He said, give us cedars of Lebanon. He says, our people cannot hew timbers like your people. Your people are so skilled at it. He says, but give us at a price. Did you read that? He says, at a price that you shall choose. There's something poverty does to people. We always want to get things free. Your friend is selling something. How are you now? My guy. You drink their zobo, you drink their kunu, you drink their kombucha, because I think Petra is full of drinks. You drink their whatever it is, and because you are brothers in Christ, they can't look you in the face. How are you, sister? I'm fine, son of oil. I say, it's an amazing thing. You know they are selling it at 200 naira. You price. Sister, 150. No, it's not proper. Did you hear what I said? It's not proper. He was a lover of David. He could have said, please, give us these things. He said, give us at a price that you will set. Somebody said, it's because Solomon had plenty money. No. Wealth is never an account balance. Wealth is a mindset. Wealth is never an account balance. Wealth is a mindset. Let me tell you something. God delivered me one time. I always will pride myself, and I still pride myself in it if I have to do it. Everyone that works with me knows it. I am a dangerous negotiator. I mean, dangerous. I'm telling you, I used to think my mother was evil. I've inherited her anointing. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, you tell me you want to sell chair to church, you want to do this, I'll slash it by 50. That's the way my head thinks, 50% first. And the reason is, no, I'm not joking. I just go 50%, pah, you say 4 million, 2 million. I don't even care the diesel price, I don't care anything. Now, here's my reasoning. My reasoning is that this money, and it's a good reasoning, this money we are spending is not profit as a business. It's the blood of men, the seed of men. Now, if I can get God the best deal, then let me get it for him. If somebody gives 10 naira and the 10 naira is to go into the work of ministry, if I don't negotiate well, I won't get the best value on their giving. Let me get the best value. This is how I think as a pastor. Let me get the best value on their thinking. If their 10 naira was going to buy 5 chairs before, let me get 10 chairs. That's extra blessing for them. Amen? Until one day, listen to me, I'm telling you, until one day somebody sent in, and this is Bankole human being, until one day. Somebody sent an invoice, and I was going, my synesis of negotiation, I just said, right now, just tell him, and the Lord said, stop it. I was shocked. Maybe I should share this with you. Let me just even give you some extra details. We're going to get some chairs. It's tens of millions and all the rest. So I say, Yeah. When he sent the invoice, I said, I said, for chair. I was already thinking about it. It's not bench I was using when I was growing up. I was just thinking, my whole body was doing me somehow. So angry. I picked my phone to call the guy myself. I don't allow people to talk for me. Excuse me, please, we can't do that. We will not do that. It's not right. By the time I'm done with you, you will feel you are sinning against God. Pastor Tosin, I picked my phone to call him like this. God said, drop it. I dropped it. I said, what? He said, why are you always cheap? That's what God told Pastor Jola, will remember. That's what God told me. He said, why you everything must be cheap? He said, you mean you can't just sign that check and sign that? And the Lord told me, he said, abundance, abundance. There's a place you are not thinking at now. Hear this, so I didn't say you should go and look for house in Metama. I didn't say you should go and look for house in Metama. You stand before it. You come to me now. Ma kwanteneve alwata agent. Mangla kiato. I'm standing in front of your house. This mountain. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about understanding how, I mean, particularly in this case, money defines relationships. You see, Solomon applying sense there, giving to them what is due them. You love Moses, keep it in your pocket. If you come and tell me you want to give me free, okay. But it's not me that is putting in your heart that I think you should sow a seed to David's life. No. Are you following what I'm saying here? Wisdom in managing relationships. The reason many of you are looking for people to consult for you in church is because you want it free. Say, we are brothers in Christ. He will sow. He's my helper. He's my helper. Are you still here? Mm-hmm. Yeah, quiet. So always seek to bless. Don't be cheap. Did you hear what I said? Don't be a leech and a liability always. Always seek to bless. Now, let me put a balance here. Ensure you don't have the Messiah complex where you think you can help everybody. Years ago, we wanted to pay for venue for church. And at the time, once I received my money, at the end of the month, the young man who was handling our finances will come and meet me. I remove my tithe and I give him the rest. That's how we used to pay to maintain things going on. One day, I was at the ATM. I was removing the money again, feeling like a man of God. And this young man, you know, God can speak through donkeys. This young man, I mean, because that's the way it sounded that day. I was so upset with him. I will never forget that experience. He looked at me as I was removing the money. He said, Pastor. He said, you like to do Voltron Defender of the Universe. I looked at him. I said, are you okay? What's your problem? He said, can I collect the money, sir? But I will never forget those words. So it was ringing in my head. And the Lord said to me, he said, I didn't send you to sponsor the church. He said, until you leave the burden of the church to me, he says, you will never see the kind of resources that should come to the church. As long as you think, I must make it work. It was that day I decided, next month, I spent my money. My God. Mojaye, man. If they like, they should lock you people out of church. No venue to use is your business. I tell you the truth, from that day, God started paying. From that day. So as much as you want to be a blessing to people, make sure you don't develop this messianic complex where you go and say, I went to borrow money to help somebody. I was speaking with somebody one day. I said, what kind of something is this? He said, I just cannot sleep. Everybody around me, I must help them. I said, everybody, even Jesus. He went where there were plenty of sick people, only one. He healed only one. Even Jesus, the Son of God. He healed only one and he left the rest. Ah! My God, how can plenty of people be sick? So you say, I had a healing meeting. Everybody did not get healed. I was now crying. Why did everybody get healed? Am I Jesus? Even Jesus, he healed one person in an entire healing service. Only one miracle. If I see two and three, I'm happy. Let's continue. Are you following what I'm saying? No messianic complex. But at every point in time, seeing yourself as a person of value. Are you following what I'm saying here? Very important. The relationships that God will bring into your life is what will determine the kind of results you will have. Glory to God. Are you still here? A couple of other things that should be said, but I'll give you that tomorrow. Have you been blessed? Mm. The way you're saying yes, sir, is just leave us and let's go. This one we are done with tonight. These things you are saying. Glory to God. Father, we bless you and we thank you. Thank you for revelation, insights, and truth in our inner man. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. To be a part of any of our programs or services, visit our website www.petrascc.org for our different locations and service times. We'll be happy to have you join our online community. Follow us on our social media handle on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Petra Christian Center. You can also reach us via email at correspondent@petracc.org or call us on 070-173-87222. Petra Christian Center, building Jesus communities globally.